And the Lord Jesus is teaching us that the true state of the heart, the true state of your heart, where your heart stands before God, what your heart is in the sight of God, that true state cannot be hidden. And the true heart of the Pharisees could not be hidden. They appeared to be godly. They showed forth their godliness in prayer, public prayer, but there was hypocrisy and there was corruptness hidden within their hearts. And the Savior knew that. He said to the Pharisees in Matthew 15, verse 9, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men."
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. You've been listening to Jesus, Lover of My Soul, produced by the Free Presbyterian Church. We do welcome you to our program today, and we're delighted that you found time to join with us. Do contact us if you've been listening. If the Lord has encouraged and blessed your soul through these programs, do let us know. Drop us an email at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. You can also go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And all our contact information is there on the website. Today we are going to consider eternity. And that is what the Saviour had in view when he spoke in Matthew 6, verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Our message is entitled, Investing in Eternity.
Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, the verse 19, the Lord Jesus Christ is delivering what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And it is a sermon filled with richness, filled with much doctrine and much teaching. And as I say that, I have a thought in the back of my mind, well, I would like to preach through that sermon sometime. That happens quite a lot. We come to a passage, and I'm thinking there's so much here, we have to preach it, but we can't preach everything all at once. But we are going to preach from this passage tonight. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, commencing at verse 19. And the Savior says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Amen. And let me draw your attention again to verses 19 to 21. We won't read them again apart from verse 21, which says, For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, that we read from earlier, we read the verse 35, "A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things." And in that particular chapter of the Word of God, the Pharisees made a blasphemous accusation of Christ that he cast out devils by the power of the devil. Such a statement shows forth the darkness and the wickedness that dwelt in their hearts. The Pharisees were a strict religious sect of the Jews, and to give a summary, they were hypocritical in the way in which they lived and applied the Word of God to their own lives. The term Pharisee refers to one who was set apart or separated, yet we find them often not being fully separated and committed unto God. In Matthew 12, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of that good tree that bringeth forth good fruit, and the corrupt tree that bringeth forth corrupt fruit. In verse 24, he speaks to the Pharisees, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And the Lord Jesus is teaching us that the true state of the heart, the true state of your heart, where your heart stands before God, what your heart is in the sight of God, that true state cannot be hidden. And the true heart of the Pharisees could not be hidden. They appeared to be godly. They showed forth their godliness in prayer, public prayer. But there was hypocrisy and there was corruptness hidden within their hearts. And the Savior knew that. He said to the Pharisees in Matthew 15, verse 9, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." They were the religious leaders within the land of Israel, but the Savior said, regarding Israel itself, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad, having no shepherd. They were the shepherds. They were the religious leaders. And Christ said, there's no shepherds here. No shepherds here. They were shepherds, but as John Gill refers to them, they were bad shepherds. They fed themselves and not the flock. They strengthened not the disease, nor healed the sick, nor bound up that which was broken. They were bad shepherds. Dear believer, when we think of Matthew 12, the Lord Jesus Christ says that verse, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things." The treasure within a man's heart points him in a certain direction, either toward good or toward evil. And the Pharisees, despite their religious words, despite their position, did not have in their hearts this good treasure. Turning back to Matthew chapter 6, and we see the Savior says in verse 21, that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we can understand that. If we love something, if we have a desire for something, well, our heart is there. If there is something that we treasure, that's where our heart is. There might be something that we love in life. There may be something that we desire. We may have a fascination with a particular type of car. And that's where our heart is and our treasure is. And we're focused and fixated on that. And we've went out and we've spent money on a pristine model of this particular car, and we love it. Or it may be something else. It might be our home. It might be some particular possession. It may be a sports team. I'm not sure whether the Canucks would be viewed as a place where we should place our treasure, a team that we should treasure. That's another topic altogether. But there are those that treasure the sports teams. There are those that love the team that represents their city, and they're devoted to it. And when it comes to season tickets, especially in soccer in the United Kingdom, you have those who are working on basic wages, and their money is spent on alcohol and thousands of pounds on tickets to watch their favorite team. They'll travel Europe. They'll spend thousands to go to one game in the middle of the week because that's where their treasure is. That's where their heart is. They've no time for God, no time for religion, because their heart is found in that place. And where is your heart today? Where is the treasure of your heart? If you say to me, "My treasure, the treasure of my heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Christ. He saved me." Is there the evidence within your life that Christ is your treasure? Do you truly love him? Do you truly seek to walk in his ways? Are you found at his house? Are you found at the place of prayer? Are you found following in his ways and obeying his commandments? Are you found witnessing for him and glorifying his name? If Christ is your treasure, that would be seen within your life. The Pharisees looked good, but they were internally corrupt within their hearts. They starved the people of true religion. And what is Christ telling these people who lived in that situation to do? Speaking to those who were supposed to be led by the Pharisees. He was saying, invest in eternal treasure. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but invest in eternal treasure. Live for the eternal kingdom. Rise above the hypocrisy and the wickedness and the falseness of the Pharisees. Don't reject religion in the sense of rejecting Christ as well. Reject the falseness and reject the wickedness, but don't reject Christ. Lay up for yourselves treasures not on earth, but treasures in heaven. And oh, how applicable this is to our generation. We see a spiritual dearth locally and nationally and globally. But that spiritual dearth is not to influence us in a negative way. Because our focus and our treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not to focus us in the sense that this world doesn't care about Christ. So if I just go to church, or I say I'm a Christian, that's enough. The Lord will appreciate that, because look at the state of the world. Our religion, our faith in Christ, the treasure of our hearts, is not judged by the standard of this world. It is judged by Christ. It is judged by our hearts. Dear believer, where is your heart? Is your heart close to the Lamb of God? And the whole thrust of the Sermon on the Mount here is Christ sweeping aside the standard of the Pharisees and reiterating God's divine and holy standard for mankind. The Pharisees, they were concerned with the externals, how things looked. If things were looking well. But we ought to be concerned about the internals, not the good picture on the outside, but looking at the inside. If the heart is right by God's grace, the externals will be right. But it is the heart that God sees, and it is the heart that truly matters. And so as we look at Matthew 12 and the verse 35 that we've mentioned, and as we look here in Matthew 6, I want to consider, very simply, investing in eternity. Investing in eternity. And I want you to see, first of all, in order to invest in eternity, you must experience Christ's salvation. There's always a starting point. There's always a foundation. When we consider the foundation of this world and the foundation of Scripture, we often think of the book of Genesis. I think I mentioned that recently. The book of Genesis is that foundation that we build upon. God created this world, and therefore he created man, and man sinned, and therefore because man sinned, God is gracious, and there's a need for the gospel, and so on, and it builds up. Genesis and the creation is the foundation. And when we think of our Christian lives, when we think of our salvation and our walk with God, Christ and his gospel, Christ and our faith and salvation from him is the foundation of it all. If Christ is not our Savior, we have no foundation. We have no foundation. I could not preach here. I could not be your pastor if I had not experienced the salvation of Christ. Because preaching the gospel of Christ, being a pastor, that has to be founded on the experience of knowing Christ as Savior. Otherwise, what message are you preaching? Who are you serving? It's not Christ. And so there is a foundation. And if we are to invest in eternity and have our eye toward eternity and live with eternity in view, we must experience salvation. We must know Christ as our Savior. The Savior contrasts laying up treasure in heaven to laying up treasure in earth. In verse 19, he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." And there are a number of thoughts that come out of these verses that we must understand and acquaint ourselves with. And to invest rightly in eternity is to take a deep consideration of these truths. And they must always be upon our minds. Dear believer, these things must be on your mind. Unbeliever, these things must be upon your mind as well. We can get so easily sidetracked in life from what is important, not only in life, but what is important in death. And these thoughts are fundamental to our understanding in the context of investing in eternity, that you first experience Christ's salvation. And the first thought here is, earthly treasure is temporal. Earthly treasure is temporal. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Christ here is dealing with what the Puritan Matthew Henry referred to as worldly mindedness. It's a common and fatal symptom of hypocrisy, he said, as any other. For by no sin can Satan have a surer and faster hold of the soul. He says Christ has warned us against coveting the praise of men, and he proceeds to warn us against coveting this world, coveting the wealth of this world. And when we think of the wealth of this world, verse 19 describes to us the reaction of God to that ideology and that thinking of this world toward wealth and possession in the logic of atheistic man. One day we will die, and that's the end. There's nothing left. We are dead and we are gone and we are dust. So therefore, what is life all about? It's about you. It's about me. It's about enjoying ourselves. It's about making the best of your life. It's about maybe doing something that allows your name to live on in the annals of history. The purpose of life then is about gain. It's about possessing. It's about enjoying those things. It's all self-centered and about yourself. And how many think like that today? And this is a thinking that has penetrated the Church of Christ. It is a wealth. It is wealth and possessions that make a man happy. It is wealth and possessions that we must focus upon to live a comfortable life instead of being focused upon Christ. But what did John say? 1 John 2 verse 15. Love not the world. We live in it. We earn a living in it. We go out into the world to live and to do our business. But John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And why did he say that? Because it is true. The world's treasures are temporary. Therefore, the things of eternity and the things of God are more serious. And the Savior in verse 19 points out that temporary nature. Moth and rust corrupt. Thieves break and steal. I could go into your home tonight and I could steal everything you have. I could steal your car and I could steal your cell phone and I could steal your bank cards and your credit cards. I could strip the place dry and leave. You've lost everything. But there's one thing I can steal, and that is your faith and your salvation in Christ. The spiritual treasure cannot be stolen. I'm not going to do that to illustrate that point, certainly not. But do you understand? Someone can come in and strip your house clean, take everything. You're left with the shirt on your back, the shoes on your feet. But they can't take your salvation. And how true that is when we think of the martyrs, when we think of those who suffered for Christianity. Everything was taken from them, but not Christ. Their love for Christ and their desire to follow Christ and their salvation, that's what they clung to. That's what they clung to.
Spurgeon brings us to Jonah chapter 2 verse 9 today. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is the work of God. It is He alone who quickens the soul dead in trespasses and sins. And it is He also who maintains the soul in its spiritual life. He is both Alpha and Omega. Salvation is of the Lord. If I am prayerful, God makes me prayerful. If I have graces, they are God's gifts to me. If I hold on in a consistent life, it is because he upholds me with his hand. I do nothing whatever towards my own preservation, except what God himself first does in me. Whatever I have, all my goodness is of the Lord. Wherein I sin, that is my own. But wherein I act rightly, that is of God, wholly and completely. If I have repulsed a spiritual enemy, the Lord's strength nerved my arm. Do I live before men a consecrated life? It is not I, but Christ who liveth in me. Am I sanctified? I did not cleanse myself. God's Holy Spirit sanctifies me. Am I weaned from the world? I am weaned by God's chastisements, sanctified to my good. Do I grow in knowledge? The great instructor teaches me. All my jewels were fashioned by heavenly art. I find in God all that I want, but I find in myself nothing but sin and misery. He only is my rock and my salvation. Do I feed on the word? That word would be no food for me unless the Lord made it food for my soul and helped me to feed upon it. Do I live on the manna which comes down from heaven? What is that manna but Jesus Christ himself incarnate, whose body and whose blood I eat and drink? Am I continually receiving fresh increase of strength? Where do I gather my might? My help cometh from heaven's hills. Without Jesus I can do nothing. As a branch cannot bring forth fruit, except it abide in the vine, no more can I, except I abide in him. What Jonah learned in the great deep, let me learn this morning in my closet. Salvation is of the Lord. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining us today. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue in Surrey. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join with us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. You can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. We invite you to join us again tomorrow at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.